You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we get two perspectives on what has worked and what has not worked with the Obamacare system from two Wisconsin doctors.
Right now, it's time for our weekly check-in on some of the latest political news out of Washington, D.C. The latest numbers are in about whether or not Americans approve of the job President Trump is doing early on in his tenure.
And President Trump's immigration and refugee executive order has received backlash nationwide as it went into effect last week. But could this executive order get public approval? We'll talk about that and the latest news in Senate confirmation hearings and more.
Harry Enten is with us now. He's a senior political writer and analyst for 538. Harry, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, let's start with some numbers. Gallup poll released President Trump's disapproval ratings last week. Where are they?
Well, we have seen now a majority of people disapprove of Donald Trump's job as president. According to Gallup, the latest number has his disapproval rating at 52%. Usually it takes a year or more for someone's disapproval rating to get to a majority, and Trump's managed to do it in about a week. So not a great start, according to Gallup, for Donald Trump.
We are in a highly polarized time. Do most presidents, do all presidents, at least in recent memory, hit that majority disapproval rating at some point?
Yeah, they do. They hit it at some point, but it's usually closer to, say, a midterm election, or it takes, you know, in the case of George W. Bush, it took a while because 9/11 hit. But the idea of it occurring so soon in the presidency, that's what's unique. It's not, you know, unique to say, okay, Donald Trump's approval rating didn't jump up to, say, 65-70% after his inauguration, because honeymoon periods have been becoming shorter and shorter. What's unique here is that he's already at a majority disapproval, according to Gallup. Just never seen anything like that so early on in a presidency.
And these numbers were pulled together before the executive order on immigration and refugees, which was implemented last week. How do you see his numbers being affected by that?
Well, you know, we're starting to get some numbers from understanding exactly where Americans feel on that. And also the Gallup tracking poll is starting to get some days that take into account that numbers. It doesn't seem to me, looking at the overall approval ratings, that we've seen too much movement on it, which shouldn't be so surprising given, as you mentioned, things are so polarized these days that the people who don't like Trump already don't like him, and the people that do like him are pretty much going to stick with him hell or high water until something perhaps breaks the dam at some point. But I don't think this executive order seems to be it.
So in speaking of this executive order on immigration and refugees, you looked at it in a piece for 538.com this week. And what made you decide to take a look at where people stood on this?
Well, I mean, look, I think the one thing that we've learned from the Trump presidency that either the Trump opponents or the Trump supporters can agree upon is that he makes news pretty much every day. And this executive order made news very, very quickly. You know, whether you're pro or con, this is something that Donald Trump said he was going to do, and it was important to take a look at it. And in looking at it, what's so interesting to me and something that we're going to have to wait and see how it develops is it really becomes a question of how you frame it or how this entire issue gets framed. If this issue becomes framed as, say, an anti-Muslim issue or an anti-Muslim executive order, there's far less support for it than, say, if it's about protecting us from terrorists. If that's where this sort of the narrative frame goes, then this may in fact be, although perhaps not overwhelmingly popular, could find a home among a majority of voters in this country.
Right. So given that this is something that has a lot of different issues packed into one big issue, I mean, are you comfortable with the numbers you got, or do you think that it's not really for sure what kind of a reading you're getting on?
Yeah, I think that this is going to be the type of thing where we need to wait a while to understand exactly how the public is going to view this, because it's a very complex issue, as you said, with many moving parts. You have refugees as part of it. You know, you have absolute outright immigration bans and other parts of it. So it's a very complex issue, and I think it's going to take time to develop. And this is the type of thing where I wouldn't look at snap polling. I think it's the type of thing where we're going to need to look at, say, polling a few weeks or a few months down the line.
So given all that, what is the area that seems to have the most potential for broad public support?
I think, you know, the area that has the most area for broad public support is if as Trump has argued, this is not a ban, or depends on the day, I guess, a ban against Muslims, but this is the idea being that we need to tighten up our security measures. And if, in fact, this is about improving national security, Quinnipiac University asked, you know, do you support suspending immigration from terror-prone regions, even if it means turning away refugees from those regions? That's something that has at least plurality support. And one other thing I'll note that has a good amount of support is limiting the number of refugees. People perhaps don't want to say no more refugees. That perhaps is a step too far. But saying we want less than we're currently taking in, that's something that can find some support among the American people.
And that last bit, does that include refugees from anywhere in the world, or is that just looking at these seven countries?
That's looking at anywhere in the world. We haven't. There's been some poll, some very quick polling that was done in specific response to the immigration ban, but nothing that I trust too much yet. We're talking about polling that looks specifically at either Syria or more wide-ranging, where Americans are okay with limiting the number of refugees but don't want to cut it off completely.
We're talking with Harry Enten right now from 538.com, getting the latest out of Washington. And Harry, the confirmation hearings continue, and there's some progress for the Trump cabinet. Where are we today?
Well, we did get Rex Tillerson approved by the entire Senate. It was a close vote, 56-43, which perhaps doesn't sound that tight given, you know, how polarized we are. But the Secretary of State is usually a position that overwhelmingly flies through. Remember, Hillary Clinton and John Kerry were approved overwhelmingly, and the idea that you would have this many no votes is just something, if you had asked someone who studied this 5 or 6 years ago, would come up as a major surprise. But Tillerson did get through, and now the real question is around Betsy DeVos, who's going for Secretary of Education, and it seems as though they're going to have the votes there, but it looks like it's going to be the closest it could possibly be with, say, a 51-50 split, with Vice President Pence casting the tie-breaking vote.
How contentious have these cabinet hearings been? I know there was a dust-up between Senator Al Franken and Ted Cruz, actually. I don't know if they were both in the room at the same time.
They were not.
There were some difficult moments there. But how contentious overall have these hearings been?
I would say that these have been the most, you know, obviously we can't say for sure, you know, how senators feed back against one another. But to me, this looks like the most contentious hearings we've basically ever had. And you can see it in the yes-no votes, where there are a ton more no votes that are coming out. Usually cabinet positions are easily filled. I think before this year, dating back to 1977, the average candidate got an average of 3 no votes. That's going to be well above that this year. So, you know, Washington is no longer a place where everyone gets along. If it ever was, it certainly isn't the case right now.
Yeah, what does it feel like right now? It's I guess, unclear for Democrats whether, as in the past, constituents wanted to see there be ability to work together, some bipartisan goodwill, or do they just want whatever side they're on to be oppositional?
I think they want whatever side they're on to be oppositional. I mean, I'm getting texts from people I haven't heard from in 5 years wondering who should they call, which senator they should call in order to change their mind, who is the key vote. People, constituents, really want to get involved. They want their senators to vote the party line, and that's what it's really become. The idea of decorum and, you know, giving in to the other side or working together just doesn't seem to hold any water anymore. It's all about fight, 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 and support your party's position.
Some big news last night from President Trump. He announced his Supreme Court pick, Neil Gorsuch, and he's considered to be very much in the Scalia lineage. So what are your thoughts about this pick and how it could go over?
Well, you know, this is the type of pick that certainly is payback for conservatives who perhaps weren't the biggest fans, especially intellectual conservatives, of Donald Trump. Trump may be many things, but conservative in the traditional sense, he is not. This is a pick that they love and that a lot of liberals really don't like, but it's also a nominee who pretty much everybody agrees is well qualified. But it's going to be one in which he will probably get confirmed, but I wouldn't expect more than, say, 55-60 votes, with the real question being whether or not cloture is able to be enacted. That is, if they can end the filibuster. If they can, he'll get confirmed because I would doubt any Republicans vote against it. But the question is whether they can get those 8 Democrats to vote for cloture. My guess is they probably will be able to, but we'll see what happens.
any indications so far. I think last night on Twitter I saw that there were 5 Democrats being reported against this pick already.
Yeah, I mean, look, the vast majority of Democrats are going to be against this pick. I modeled out, you know, what's the chance, what number of votes do we expect each type of nominee to get? Someone who is as conservative as Gorsuch is, we expect a lot of no votes. The question is, can they pick off those few Democrats on the side? And that's, I guess, what we'll see in the days and weeks to go. Again, I don't think that he'll get 60 votes for confirmation. The question is whether he can get 60 votes for cloture, and that's what we'll have to keep an eye on. And if he can't, will Republicans use the nuclear option to say, you know what, all Supreme Court nominees from now on will be up or down votes. You can't filibuster them.
And what happens if they do that? You said the mood in Capitol Hill is rough already. What do you see happening if that happens?
I guess they're going to take a 2-foot snowstorm and turn it into a blizzard with 35-mile-an-hour winds. That's what they're going to do. There's always a way to find more distrust than between colleagues in Washington, D.C. If you want a friend, get a dog.
That's a good place to leave it, Harry. Thanks a lot for joining us. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
That was Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538.com. He was with us there to catch up with the latest in national political news.
Coming up after the news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, we'll hear from 2 Wisconsin doctors with different perspectives, different insights on the strengths and weaknesses of Obamacare, and look at what might come next if it is repealed. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.